It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham Talk 1600. We're here every Sunday for you from 2 to 5 Eastern, also available on our YouTube channel 24/7, also named Operation Freedom, where we upload a couple new YouTube presentations every week. And we're also available at DaveJanda.com, both the free, the public side, as well as the subscription side. Extra shows, extra content, extra guests, extra analysis. I believe one of the biggest bangs for the buck in all the internet. Try it for a month. If you don't like it, you can get riveted, but I'm not sure why, because the information you get, you will not see, read, or experience in the bought-off, lamestream fake media. The same is true with my next guest. She has a platform, Sarah Westall, sarahwestall.com. She provides incredible information, incredible guests, and incredible content. A little background on Sarah. She is a successful entrepreneur and business executive. In the past 25 years, Sarah has created and developed multiple companies, including a successful management consulting firm and a multi-million dollar international import and manufacturing company. She has a dynamic leadership career spent building high-performance teams in highly competitive industries. Sarah has an entrepreneurial attitude, energy, and style, and she has a proven ability to define company positioning by driving the development and execution of innovative market entry plays, long-term growth strategies, business development, and strategic initiatives. Sarah has a computer science and business management systems degree from the College of Science and Engineering at the University of Minnesota, with an emphasis in management information systems from the Carlson Business School. Sarah started her career at the center of the Internet revolution at US West Communications, where she was promoted multiple times to eventually become director of the Advanced Networking Group responsible for all of the systems design and development for Enterprise, the Internet and networking arm of US West. Currently, Sarah is a partner at Galax Consulting. She is the host, as I mentioned, of a great platform, sarahwestall.com, and also the national radio show Business Game Changers. It is my honor to welcome back my friend, Sarah Westall. Sarah, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Hi, Dave. What a pleasure.
Well, Sarah, you have unique insight on this issue with China. And the reason is because you actually spent some time in China in the month of December of 2019, correct?
I did. I spent after Christmas, we were there until about January 10th.
So educate our listeners about your experience, and then let's talk about the virus.
Well, China is a very unique place. This virus is incredible to watch, and my experience with China probably gave me a little bit more closeness to the experience. But one of the main things that I'm realizing is the fear of the people there to tell me the truth of what's really going on. And in fact, I have a person who is from another country who is not from China, but has been there for about 15 years, has a family there, has a child and a spouse, and contacted me and wanted to talk about what the reality was of what was going on in China. And then I get email saying that their spouse is fearful and does not want me to talk, and so he changed his mind. And so I don't get to talk to him like I want to. I want to know what's really going on. I mean, I've talked to Master Healer, who has family in China. While she was really great and talking about the details of building your immunities and things, I just don't think that they're willing to go all the way of what's really going on. I talked to a medical correspondent out of China, and you know, they all downplay what's really going on. And we know, all the experts that I talk to know, that the numbers are much higher than what they're reporting. And so it just goes to a culture of fear of the state government. You know, we know that doctor, the original doctor, was taken out. Or we think he was, right? Mm-hmm. The one that reported that they think that the one that was had patients with the virus. And next thing you know, he was, what, 36 and he's dead from getting the virus. How did he die? Yeah, he didn't meet any of the criteria for dying from this virus. And so I think people are just fearful of sharing information unless the state condones it. And that's the experience I'm having.
Well, Sarah, we were told for weeks, if not a month and a half, that, well, this is all because some people ate some bat soup and snake soup.
Well, we know that's not true, right? Well, they know it's not true, too. What China knows that, in fact, you know, if you, Dr. Boyle, he's the one that wrote the statute on our bioweapons program for, you know, our United States government. Mm-hmm. He comes straight out and he says it's a bioweapon. He's been blacklisted on every, you know, the mass media. China thinks it's a bioweapon. You want to hear what they said about it?
Let's hear
this This is from the Chinese military website. It's all in Chinese, but I had it translated. And I mean, what they think the United States created this weapon. So whether we think it is or not, they think it is, or they think it's a bioweapon, and they think the U.S. did it. I don't know if the U.S. did it or not, but they think it, or that's what they're saying in this Chinese military website. But this is what they say. We think that our enemy has been armed to the teeth, but actually they are more prepared than that. If we don't stand on guard, we may lose our ability to fight back in the face of apocalyptic weapons. That's why Chairman Mao insisted on building nuclear weapons to deter our enemies. We will not use the evil weapons on our enemies first, but we must also be equipped with such weapons. Only with this kind of reciprocal deterrence we can have an international ban on biological and chemical weapons. Of course, global hegemony, like the U.S., is not bound by the rules. I did not pronounce that word right. But they basically believe that we created the virus, and they say, another thing they say is, this isn't a game, this is war. That's in their military, their number one military website.
So let's take the possible scenarios and go through them, okay? One is what we had been told through the bought-off lamestream fake media throughout our country and the world that, well, this is from bat soup, snake soup, from this Hunan seafood market. We can pretty well discount that scenario, can't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just a silly, right? I mean, they have people, their studies that was published in the Lancet Medical Journal, which is a very, very prestigious one, saying that the source of this virus is not just from the Wuhan market, that there's been alternate sources that had nothing to do with the market. So that made it not valid.
Okay. Then there are those that say, well, there is this BSL type 4 containment laboratory in Wuhan, and they were working on a virus, but it was an accident. It just slipped out amongst the cracks and got out there, and, well, that's what's behind all this. Your take on the accidental?
Well, I don't, you know, we don't know how this bioweapon went out there. The Chinese thinks it was on purpose and it was the U.S. Now, other people are saying it's this, there is this Canadian doctor that was the head of a bioweapon lab in Canada that went to Africa to speak, and he was killed.
Right. So the head of this, what's called NML lab in Winnipeg, Canada, his name was Frank Plummer.
Yes.
There were some Chinese scientists working at his laboratory. Some of those Chinese scientists actually had brought vials of the coronavirus to Wuhan. It has been documented, correct?
Yeah, and so that's a theory that this actually came out of that scenario. But then there's also evidence and research showing that there were U.S. people from Harvard that came and took DNA samples from a lot of Chinese and I mean, there's so much false information. I mean, I don't know what's true or not. Go ahead.
Well, in the Harvard situation, there are ties going to Wuhan from the Harvard group. There are also ties, as I understand it, from the University of North Carolina with their virology work being tied into Wuhan as well. But it's interesting that Frank Plummer, the guy who ran that NML lab out of Winnipeg, where it was documented by authorities that there were several of, they called it a Chinese espionage case, had transported some of the material back into back from Canada to Wuhan. Frank Plummer, as you mentioned, fell over dead at a medical conference.
Yeah, he died immediately. He supposedly had a heart attack, and he was dead within an hour.
So accidental release, I guess, is a possibility. On the other hand, you have documents, a document at least one, that shows that, well, the Chinese believe that this was a bioweapon that was released by Western sources. And then there are those that have stated that they believe it is a bioweapon and that it was released by a fraction of the deep, if you will, a component of the deep state in China to undermine Xi, to bring his administration down, to bring the economy down, to get the people all wound up, if you will, to overthrow Xi. Then there's the theory that it was a bioweapon released by a deep state component in China, not necessarily against Xi. It's interesting, though, Sarah, if you know, what was happening when you were over in China, there was quite a movement, the freedom movement, that was really spreading from Hong Kong into the mainland, correct?
Yeah, well, I think there's strong facets on both sides. I mean, we have factions, like they have factions, and the world seems to be fighting this communist versus freedom deal, and it's just as strong there. It's just, you know, our world's in a pretty weird spot, as you know. The dollar is, we've talked about the global bankers, what they're trying to do of creating a reset and creating a worldwide digital currency. We have China that doesn't necessarily want to play ball with those guys. We have him and Putin and Trump working together more behind the scenes than people realize. There's a lot of high-level strategic things going on that it's really difficult for us to know for sure what's going on. The mainstream media, as you call it, the lamestream media, you get nothing from them. Mm-hmm. You get very little from very many people because there's so much disinfo out there, and there's not a lot of people that think high-level strategic like that. But, you know, according to someone like Harley Schlanger and the LaRouche Pack and some of those people who are pretty good, they believe that this is maybe a high-level the allegiance of Trump and Xi Jinping and Putin of working together.
So, Sarah, I have no idea. Sarah, you must have hit a button because you got cut off right when you said high level and then you went blank for about 5 seconds.
Oh, great. I just think that, you know, some people think that there's this high level strategic relationship between Trump, Xi Jinping and Putin to create peace long term and for us to work together. And they don't like that. You know, they don't like Putin and China. And, I you know, there is this communist faction, but China's moving more towards a free market. I don't like the fact that Xi Jinping is dictator for life. I just have a hard time with that.
I do, too.
The sad part of all this is we don't know because we're not getting all that information. It's us trying to talk to private being digging into everything we can, being journalists trying to figure it out, because the journalists that are mainstream aren't doing their job at all. They're just propaganda arms.
Well, what I find, I'm sure just coincidental, is that since the emergence of this virus, you have heard nothing about the freedom movement in Hong Kong that had been spreading to mainland China. And then we have headlines from alternative press such as Zero Hedge. Meanwhile, in China, quote, residents forcibly taken away after refusing to be quarantined, end quote. I mean, what better way to get the freedom fighters off the playing field, right? Hey, we think you have the virus. Uh-huh. Oh, we're coming in. We're taking. And Chinese province authorizes private property confiscation to fight the coronavirus. Chinese province approves taking private property to fight coronavirus.
Well, I just posted an article on my site about the Trilateral Commission. Always uses a crisis to get something accomplished.
We'll never let a good crisis go to waste,
exactly.
Right? Exactly.
And yeah, I mean, this is a perfect opportunity. I think the virus is real.
I do too.
I think the crisis is real. I just think it's a perfect opportunity to do a lot of other things.
Well, and also when you look at the environmental component that could well exacerbate this virus, by that I mean, There's some medical literature out there that shows that smoking, which is pretty endemic throughout the Chinese population, male-wise, smoking increases the number of receptors called angiotensin-converting enzyme factor 2 receptors in the lungs, and it makes it, and that is the receptor that this virus binds onto in people's lungs, right? So there's some environmental concerns. One of the other environmental concerns, folks, and this is just a point of fact, and some people say this is conspiracy theory, but it is fact that in 2018, they started to roll out I cannot say this on YouTube or else I'd be banned, but they rolled out radio frequency, so-called 5G technology, in Wuhan in 2018, and it was essentially completely operational, and it's been stated that the city of Wuhan was smothered in the 5G technology starting in the fall of 2019.
So, well, what that does, because I just did a show on this. I mean, 5G will not kill you right away, no, right? It's an ongoing, long-term, and long-term could be a year. I mean, it's not that long-term, but it'll create all sorts of immune responses. It'll create cancer. It'll create tumors. It's going to create a lot of weird stuff.
It can reduce your immune system, make you more vulnerable, right, to infection. It can have deleterious effects on the lungs. Some respiratory pulmonary specialists that I've come in contact with tell me that when they look at some of the preliminary studies that have come out of China, they say, you know, you look at that and gosh, it could almost look like a radiation exposure effect to the lungs, radiologically.
Well, it's a double whammy is what it is. You put people who have compromised immune system in mass and then you give them a virus. And so that's why they're seeing high levels of fatality than other areas.
And add to it the pollution issues that has long-term deleterious effects on the lungs. So you have pollution, you have smoking, you have gosh knows other environmental effects. You add the radiation component potentially to it. And then you add the virus, which supposedly, according to some preliminary medical studies out of China, shows that Chinese population, Asian population has five times the number of these receptors than the Caucasian ethnic group, than the African ethnicities. That again makes that population, the Asian population, more vulnerable.
It does, yeah. I'm not sure because I think the thing keeps mutating. So I think we will be able to see as it kind of, I think it's a wait and see, which really is awful, to see how much it'll affect other people. You know more than I do, being a scientist, whether all these mutations mean that it's going to hit the rest of the population as hard. Now, in Italy, they're starting to be community spread. The other problem is they aren't testing people. Mm-hmm. They claim that they were doing all this quarantine. We knew millions of people got out of China ahead of the quarantine. And then they haven't really been testing anybody. And I don't think there's a way to, if it's going to get to everybody, it's going to get to everybody. There was just an epidemiologist out of Harvard that believes that 40 to 70% of the population is going to eventually get this thing.
No, and that doesn't mean that people that percent, I mean, are going to get sick and die or have or get sick. There are a big chunk of folks that are exposed to this that have no symptoms at all.
Well, they're saying that, you know, according to the Lancet Journal that I was reading through this morning, that of the people who are 80 years older are older, their fatality rate is almost 15%.
And the reason is because they tend to have more underlying medical issues and a diminished immune system from their medical issues, such as diabetes, heart disease, poor functioning immune systems to begin with because they're undernutrified. Fauci, who I respect, who I've had interactions with. I respect him from the NIH. I think he's an honest, straight shooter. I don't think he's a puppet. Fauci has come out and said the folks that are most vulnerable are the elderly who are immunocompromised.
Well, exactly. That's why building your immune system and them not being on that cocktail of drugs that they're on. I care more about making sure my parents are safe, you know, so I'm really focusing on them with their making sure their immune system's up. I'm having them take C60. I've done some shows on that. But, you know, I was listening to Dr. Francis Boyle, who was the one who developed the bioweapon legislation, and he is just convinced that, you know, and I've done some more research on this as well, that creating a vaccine is going to be worse than not having a vaccine. And this isn't me talking about the vaccine issue. Let's like forget about that. That's looking at what happened with Ebola. They took a group of a human trial with an Ebola vaccine, and they realized that the vaccine was more dangerous than actually getting the disease. Mm-hmm. I mean, because they gave them a little piece of Ebola. Mm-hmm. Same thing with SARS. The studies showed that the vaccine, what it did is it put people in a state that if they got another virus close to that, that it was going to be more lethal to them, and they're going to be at a higher fatality rate. It does exact opposite of what you want it to do, because they didn't know how to deal with these viruses. And the problem is that a typical virus to really or a vaccine, it takes a while to, you know, a year and a half to really know what you're doing and to test it and things. And they put these things on. I understand the compassionate code, you know, when you don't have anything, that they have this rite of compassion so that you can try stuff. So people are going to die anyways. You try things. But this could be just a windfall for the pharmaceutical companies.
Well, yes. And that's the concern. You see, my big problem right now with this entire situation is what's been occurring on the testing front. Hmm? There should be more. The guidelines are now opening up. The CDC, not the Trump administration, the CDC had things too tight. Only if you've gone to China or you know of somebody who has had the coronavirus should you be tested. They did not have the correct number of tests out there available for folks to have. Number one, number two, the tests they had out there, the reagents
they don't
were
even
not
work.
Good. They were no good. Okay, they were giving false results. So now they've created the reagent problem. Now they're creating more tests so that they're more available. That's the key, because we really don't know. You know, somebody said the other day, and I agree with them, rather than focusing on another trial of drugs and another vaccine, put the money and the efforts into testing. Because let's face it, if we put 10,000 tests out there and we say, you know, 14 people out of 10,000 tested positive, or we put the tests out there and we say, you know, out of 10,000, 9,000 people tested positive. Well, wait a minute. That's a completely different ballgame. And we don't know until we get more testing. And that's been the key. And that's been the real problem, I think.
Well, yeah, and I think so, too. So they don't know who's out there. They do have a way. This is advanced medicine. It's real medicine. They have a way to do it with frequency. NASA knows about this. Johns Hopkins, MIT, they know how to, you know, MIT did a study where they take proteins, turning into DNA, and then convert it back to proteins again. They know that frequency works. They have the ability to test coronavirus based on frequencies, but it's just so far beyond the average medical doctor's understanding that I don't know if they can go forward with that, but they can. You know, I mean, they can go forward with that, but it would take an effort of changing their paradigm. But I agree 100%. I mean, they're just not testing. Italy's problem, their outbreak, is because they weren't testing.
Yes.
That's exactly right. I just read a thing this morning from a doctor from, where was he from? A European country. And he works in the vaccine area for this country. And he was talking about Italy, and they were being told to go back to work. They weren't testing them and nothing. So all they were doing was spreading it more. So, It's those are policy issues that you're talking about.
Sarah, how can folks follow you? Because they need to follow you on a daily basis without fail.
Oh, great. Follow me on sarahwestell.com. Go to my website. You can get to my podcast. You can get to all my articles. I have a good story there, or a good article on how to practically prepare for financially for something like this. And, you know, the virus with the global supply chain going down. So go to my website, sign up, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and that's how you get me.
Sarah, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You are an incredibly courageous individual who has the welfare of every American and actually every person in the world in your foremost attention and what you focus on. I'd like to thank you for that. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom, Dr. Dave Janda.